Welcome to Fundamental Mennonite Church. I'm going to start out with a question as we're going to kind of reset the stage for all the kids to kind of get their chairs up here. But the question is, how have you been acting missionally this week? That's the question. So you can talk amongst your peers as we get the chairs set up.
By talking does mean with your voices.
Yeah. So at Finland, we've been kind of going through this discipleship, trying to engage what it really means to be discipled, but we've been engaging this series, which is called the Sunday Morning Brew. And so this week, we're going to be asking our youth group, our senior high group, kind of about discipleship, but also engaging. They just recently went on a missions trip. So the first thing is, tell us like about your trip, what you did. I want to see where everyone went, and where did you go?
So our group got split into two the last day of work, and so since there were a bunch of other people who can talk for the rest of the week, we put boards on the bottom of a modular house so that they could set it on the blocks that Saturday.
So we were serving at Big Creek Missions, which is located in Leslie County, Kentucky. So they split us into construction and community groups, which Mike was talking about. So I was in the community group, and so we ended up getting split up between my parents, Kyle and Tina, each day. And so I ended up going to a thrift store a couple days where we helped store different clothing for people that were in need from the recent natural disasters that were happening in Kentucky. I also went to a school and helped sort different classrooms and get them in line so they could get ready for the school year. And then I also went to a nursing home.
I also went to it was a thrift store. It was kind of a place where they had clothing, other supplies that any person needed. It was called Thrifty Place. And then I went to an elementary school. We also cleaned walls and bathrooms to help get them ready for the school year. We packed boxes, boxes on Tuesday morning. That was the last program we were doing. And then I also got to a homeless shelter, and we're on they're called pack lunches, where they would take them and get to share with all the homeless out in the world with them.
I was with a construction group, so our youth group got split into two different groups. Half of us went to community, and the other half went to construction. So I was with construction. We were with Brandon and Jackie, and then we worked with some guys from Alabama, and then another kid from where he lived was Kentucky. And most of the week we did flooring in the trailer, so the floor was all soft and rotted, and so we all worked together to rip it out, and then we put new plywood down, and then they put like some kind of vinyl flooring.
So I worked for construction. I was at my own job. I got some flooring out, just like the old flooring, and then I also got it made the call of death like the shed. So we got new wood pieces so that we could have a good table. We did some natural spring for the floor, the deck. And I guess it's like the windows. They got this black stuff and put off with just some boards to take it off with. And so in the back of the house, just clean all this stuff up, and then we did is we got some stairs, which is kind of amazing. We also had a trampoline, we did it kind of like a summer vibe.
I was also working in community, so we packed the meals, as I mentioned before. Kids often in that area and have a good economy. So a lot of them do get their meals from school. So then during the summer, they do not have food to eat. So we're able to pack 7 breakfasts and 7 lunches into the meal boxes that will get sent out. And then I also went to the elementary schools to do janitorial work, clean bathrooms, and rearrange furniture for them. And we went to the homeless shelter, as Kylie said, packed back lunches. And then we also went to the Sophie's Closet for the clothes and other items for the less fortunate.
So what I did, a lot of it was mentioned already. I went to a nursing home and a veteran center. I helped pack the meal boxes, and I also went to the elementary school to help do janitorial work. I went to the homeless shelter, helped pack back lunches, and I also went to Sophie's Place, the first floor, to help sort clothing and fold it. I was also in the community group. I visited the nursing home and veterans home. As Lydia said, we talked with the residents and we played bingo at the veterans home. I was also part of the meal boxing crew and then also part of the group afterwards who cleaned up from that, packing the fun stuff and sweeping the driveway, the parking lot. I was also one of the groups that went to Sophie's Place and sorted clothing. And then I also visited a second nursing home. And now I'm blinking on the other place.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. Cleaning bathrooms at the elementary school. How could I forget?
Did we get everybody? Brian, yeah. You missing anything? Grab it.
I didn't go, but I don't think we missed anything. A lot of what I did has already been said. I visited the nursing home and the veterans center with the rest. I went to the elementary school to clean bathrooms, went to Sophie's Place to help sort clothes, did the food box packing, so. Yeah.
Did we miss anything, Travis? No?
What I've already did is, already been covered. But I did the Sophie's Place on Monday. On Tuesday, I went to the elementary school. And then Wednesday, we did box packing. And then also the elementary school once we were done. And then Thursday, I went to the nursing home. And then Friday, we went back to Sophie's Place.
So that's a real zoomed in view of what we did. But before we get into some maybe the deeper questions that Isaac has for us, it might be good for you to know what the week was like, but Big Creek Missions is a permanent mission. Like, it's not just there for the summer and then gone there, invest in the community. And I'd say between construction and community ministry, we heard about the fact that this area was really impoverished. So coal was the major industry and also some lumber, and both had pretty much shut down in that area. We passed, at least the construction crew, went past the one lumber facility. It was all totally shut down. We turned around the parking lot of one of those coal locations, and it was like a ghost town. What we have is like multi-generational poverty. So the one area we were working on, their house had like the grandmother's house, her great-grandmother's house, their house, a trailer, but 75% of them were like literally falling down. So it's, we got both sides, both to see the, like, that rooted problem in the families, and then to see the mission's response to the community. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, so we'll kind of hop into it. As you all know, we've kind of been doing this sermon series for a couple of weeks now. And we've always been talking about discipleship. So we've been asking everybody kind of what discipleship means to them. But my question is, since we've already talked about it so much, how did your idea or view of discipleship change while you were on your missions trip?
Not everybody won.
I would say it made it seem like it wasn't as big as something as it sounds like when you say discipleship. It sounds like something very in-depth and like hard or whatever, but we like discipled people where we were, and it wasn't like, we don't need to study.
I agree with Zach on what he said, and I want to expand on it too, that I thought discipleship was always like with words, and that, oh, like you need to share the gospel with words, but I learned that it's actually just through your actions, because as I was at the thrift store, there wasn't like too many opportunities for me to share with people exactly, because you're just pulling clothing, but just having loving, doing it in love with my actions, I think that that's also discipleship.
We did see opportunities where you serving behind the scenes opened the door for conversation later. It's like, I know the one group was driving around and you were in a parking lot somewhere. I wasn't along for this, and someone came running up to the van. Was anybody there for that? I was not there for that. You see how the discipleship behind the scenes impacted them? Can you share that story?
I was kind of in the back of the van when that happened. I really don't know the details. Kyle should explain that one. I don't know. I guess a guy came up to the van first talking to Kyle, and I think he was inviting us to church. And
he had heard some of what Big Creek was doing in the community and knew, associated that with Jesus, and was thankful, like, so thankful, and yeah, was inviting you to the church he had started attending. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yep,
yeah,
pretty
good. Anybody else? I see a lot of notes out there.
I think she wanted it. Did you want it?
Yeah.
Hmm? Hmm? You can go.
So, discipleship means to me talking to them with God, helping others, ensuring that Jesus even the hard times. It's just like, to me, if I'm like talking to them about God, it helps me to like know who God is. If I'm like showing them God, like showing them how Jesus is, maybe for like showing them God and like what we did at the house for me, help them with serving stuff that showed God. And at the same time, if like sometimes people don't see God and like helping, like making them through their classes, and I think when we work on my house a little bit, and the got the stairs done, I think that shows God, because you are making something new and like giving them a warm and good house.
Okay. So like in that of like kind of learning about like a new way of discipleship, how do you think you were specifically engaged in that? I know you talked, or Elizabeth talked a bit about, you know, building the house and something becoming new because of the stairs. But how did you all kind of engage that throughout the trip, whether that was talking with your leaders or talking amongst yourselves? How do you think you guys engaged discipleship on the trip? You should tell the pink elephant story that I heard yesterday. Huh? Yeah, it does.
Okay, this was an example that one of the speakers used. It was like, he used the example that, like, if you keep saying pink elephants, pink elephants, pink elephants, what are you thinking of? And he used it as an example to show that, like, if you keep focusing on your sin and whatnot, and instead of focusing on God, you're just going to keep thinking about your sin. Also, something that I thought was really cool on our trip was there was this little kid He's like seven. That was at the house we were working on. And we, I forget whose idea it was in our group, but we ended up taking him a Bible and we were like reading him stories and stuff. And at first he was like, nah, I don't like stories. And then Brandon like started reading him one and like stopped halfway through. And he's like, oh, that's done, when it wasn't. And the kid's like, no, keep going. So that was really cool.
I guess one of the ways that we engaged disciples with each other was one night during a group discussions after worship, Brandon wasn't feeling too well, and so he writes a Bible verse. I forget what the reference was, but basically it said like you can teach yourselves these things now that you have heard or something. And so Brandon said, I'm kind of going to step back from this one, and you guys can do the discussion amongst yourselves. And that actually turned out pretty well, as we were talking about what we had learned that night with each other.
It was 1 John 3. I can read it to you. 2. 1 John 2:27. The anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, it is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So yeah, it was cool to see you guys step up, and we're going to see that again here as we keep asking questions.
This is something I just thought of now, but engaging in discipleship with other people on the trip. Our group, my group that was in community the first day, we were with a couple people from another church, and there was this girl who was 13, her name was Chloe, and we got to work with her and some people from her church a couple days that week, and then I kind of built a friendship with her that week, so that was really cool.
In our group, there's a kid named Dan from like 2 hours away in a different part of Kentucky, and we got to, Brandon said that from what he gathered, his mom had sent him there, and he didn't really want to be there because his cousin and brother was being a bad influence. And so that was kind of like, we can be a good influence on him.
He joked that he wanted to go home, but he wanted to come home with us. That's me.
Weird. Yeah, we have a northern accent. Did you know that?
Oh. Well, kind of going on top of that, it seems like God was teaching you a lot in the midst of the whole trip. So in the sense, how do you hear from God? Whether that's through other people on the trip or whether that was through your devotionals, how do you think you heard from God and what did he tell you? Or how did he encourage you this week?
I think I definitely heard from God through the speaker and ministry director at Big Creek. He was going through the book of 1 John the whole week, and a couple things that stood out to me were that worship should only ever be Jesus-focused and not contingent on things of the world, which is something I knew, but it was a really good reminder. We had some good discussions about that in our church group, too. And then another thing was, he said this a couple times, but you cannot do it yourself. You know, when it comes to fixing your own brokenness or loving other people, your own efforts are going to fail, and that's something I definitely need to be reminded about. Hmm.
Does that spark anything for anybody else? Anybody who heard God speaking or specific things he was teaching you?
So I think God also spoke to me a little bit through the speaker. He said a couple times that, or like, sometimes we can think that worship just ends like when the music stops or when the pastor stops speaking, but it's something that continues like throughout your whole day and through your whole week. And that was something that stuck me and made me think about on this.
Adding on to what Lydia had said about worship not ending when the music ends, you had mentioned that everything we do when we are serving Him is worship. So us packing your boxes is worship. Us cleaning is worship. As not fun as it is, and as
it was so much fun.
And as much as it seems like it doesn't really matter, we are ultimately glorifying God as we are serving others.
Try not to hijack every question, but for me, I heard from God on days when there was a day when we had placed an order for some supplies for a job the day before, and they came wrong. We couldn't really do it. We get there, we're trying to find things to do, and it starts pouring, and I'm just like, God, why are we here? Like, it's 4 hours in the day. I've done 5 minutes of work. Like, what's the purpose, right? And one of the things I kept saying at Big Creek was, if we give you a two-day job and you do it in 2 days and leave and they never see that Christians love them or never hear the gospel, you've wasted your time. If we give you a two-day job and it takes you 4 days and you spent time with the people, if you've shared life, if you talked about what you were learning in Bible study, if you shared how Jesus is the reason that you had gone in the first place, then that was a success. And in me wanting to get that job done and being mad we didn't have supplies and being angry it was raining and questioning God why I was there, that's what opened the chance for us to actually have a dialogue with the people we were serving. And finding that maybe some of them were wrestling with faith too, and finding that they can serve us. Like, in serving, we receive sometimes. Like, we think that we're on mission serving others, but God is maybe serving us through the people we're serving.
Yeah, to kind of add on and build to that conversation, Brandon talked about not seeing God move specifically in the moment. So after like being home for a little bit, what things did you see God doing? Where did you see Him working? Like, what ways did you not see Him, or did He not seem present to you? Like, where would you see God moving on your trip?
I would say somewhere I definitely saw moving was the people at the home we were working with were like so welcoming, and like Tuesday they were like, oh, let's eat lunch together. So we all sat in a circle around like their fire pit and we ate lunch. And like, to be real, it's like there were like 10 teenagers from another state that they had no clue who they were just coming into their house. Personally, I probably wouldn't have done that with them. But like, they were so like happy to have us there, and they were so welcoming.
For me, I would say that I saw God moving specifically in my heart as I was serving throughout the week. There was never a point where I was like not wanting to do something. I always seemed to have found joy in what I was doing. Even at the beginning, when I didn't want to do it, towards the middle and the end, there was always like, oh, well, there's music playing now, so I'm more joyful. Or like, there's things like that that had happened that made it more joyful. And I would say that God was moving in my heart to just have that joy through those situations.
Any one question, if God was moving, went on our free night out, we ended up cleaning the bathrooms all night, and you didn't get to go out into the town? You guys are holier than me.
Anyone else?
I would say, I didn't really think of it then, but another area people could have questioned whether God was moving was when half our leaders were sick. And like, Jackie was pretending she wasn't, but she had like a whole bottle of cough medicine in like 2 days. Kyle, like the last day, Kyle didn't even go to work. He just dressed it so that he would be feeling better for our drive back.
The official sleep total was 11 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, impressive. But yeah, it wasn't really for me, but like for the people that were sick, they could have seen it that way.
Going back to the beginning of the question, that was what new things did you learn from God on the trip? I personally learned that loving others is like directly connected to loving God, and I already knew that, but I got a deeper meaning of that. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also love one another." And then again in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I think, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so as I was serving, and as I was in the thrift store just folding laundry for hours on end, and I started not loving what I was doing, I was like, am I still serving God, though? Because I'm not loving. So that was something that stuck out for me.
I think it's kind of funny that you say, like, you, like, when you're not loving God with what you're doing, then you're stopping loving people. I thought that was really interesting. And, I mean, hopefully you don't have to fold laundry at the church. Chris might ask you to do that. But how did your trip impact, you know, life outside of the trip? So, like, when we come home, I think I heard that was, like, a big emphasis and focus for you guys, about bringing your missions trip back home and what that means. So what, you know, what things impacted your trip that you could bring out of it?
The speaker guy, Kyle. I mean, not Kyle. Kevin. he was talking about how a missions trip isn't 1 week that you serve and then you go back home and act your normal life. But it's a week to specifically hone in on serving, and that you should be serving where you are all the time.
The speaker phrased it as your mission trip doesn't end when you leave this place. That's when it begins. And so he was talking a lot near the end of the week about kind of being a missionary in your own home, in your own community, because you can really do some of the same stuff back home.
Yeah, an example of how some of us continue that serving is on Tuesday, some of us volunteered at the senior luncheon continue serving. And so, like, different things like that can come up are great ways to continue serving that are simple, but
I wish y'all could see the film. We had a closing Bible study at night from like 9 till 10 while most of you are sleeping. That's when we started this closing Bible study. And like, what was your favorite part of serving today? And a couple were like, we love visiting with the seniors. We love this. Like, you know we have seniors out home, right? So yeah, that was great. They all wrestling with what it looks like to bring mission home, or as we like to say here, where you live, work, study, and play. He didn't use those words, but the spirit was there. Has that been difficult for you as you've come back home to think about how that looks like, or has your eyes been opened to ways that you can do that in your home or with your friends or your community, your church? Maybe that's a conversation after service out in the community. Find one of them. See if you guys can wrestle together.
Well, it seems like a lot of you are wrestling right now. So we're going to ask the question, like, what do you think specifically challenged you on the trip? Whether that's in your faith or looking at, you know, the situation or circumstances of what you were doing, what things kind of challenged you on your trip?
Talking with the people.
What about it, Micah?
Everything. I heard you say bite, but I guess they didn't know Isaac Kiefer was going to be here.
I don't know that this has necessarily challenged my faith, but something that challenged me on the trip for sure was they had five rules for the mission there, and one of them was get ye over thyself. Second hesitation, 3:23, obviously a made up verse, but that was in my head all week. Especially when we were cleaning the bathroom over and over again. And so I was reminded a lot to not complain and to just do what I was there to do and not be grouchy about it.
Find joy in it, like Kylie said.
Exactly.
Might be able to do that ministry here, clean some bathrooms.
So, something that challenged me a little bit was, I think it was on Wednesday, after we cleaned up in the food boxing thing, the people at Big Creek had my group doing kind of odd jobs around the Big Creek campus. Like, I was power washing double steps while other people cleaned windows, and I don't know, it didn't sit quite right with me, because I thought I was pretty sure I came there to help serve the community and bring hope to the community, and I wasn't sure how I was doing that power washing a set of stone steps outside the building. Mm. So. Mm.
Yeah, the end of the day Tuesday was kind of like that thing. We packed the food boxes in the morning and then cleaned up from that at the beginning of the afternoon. We were just doing the odd jobs around the Big Creek campus. And it really didn't feel like I was getting a lot done. And so I kind of had to say, okay, I did what I could, you know, and was okay with that because that's what I was there to do. Yeah, I would say I struggled with Monday and Friday and ended up learning Sophie's Place and folding clothing. And I was really unsure, like Monday, okay, fine. Monday, folding clothing, it's fine. Then 2 days, I was like, how am I supposed to, like, one of our devotions was sharing the gospel where we were going to be out in the community. Like, how am I supposed to do that when I'm sitting on the concrete folding clothing? And so I realized that by simply smiling at somebody or saying hi or just being joyful in what I was doing is still sharing God's love and it's part of the gospel. And that definitely changed the mindset and but definitely challenged my faith during that time.
Maybe a reminder that those small things behind the scenes that open the door for conversations later, that establish the opinion of the community for what is a Christian, what do they believe, and what are they about. It can sometimes be hard to do that in menial tasks that doesn't seem that important and see how it's opening the door for ministry somewhere else. So even while working at their campus, if we need to keep the campus running well so that they can continue to reach the people so that the people and find their own faith and also be elevated in their out of their poverty. So I'm seeing how those little things maybe do a bigger work and be difficult. But I don't think it's just the youth maybe who struggled in their faith. I'll take the faith angle specifically for me. Two things I can think of is like when we're serving in some areas of extreme poverty, like as an example, they said, my daughter lives across the street, they said on Monday. And that the house, no one had moved in that house for 3 days, and there's so much junk you couldn't get to the front door, it never closed, there were snakes going in and out. Like, no one lives there, I kept saying. And Wednesday, I realized when the house got so bad, they moved into the shed. They were there, they were just in the shed. And this for me, my wrestle, honestly, is what does good news look like here? when you're fixing a floor and you know the rest of the house is going to fall down around it, what does good news look like here? On a lighter note, when you're in an old elementary school hallway with like 180 people, and you're talking about going there to love people out in the community, but you're struggling to love those 180 people who keep ruining the bathrooms. That question your faith too, what does it look like to love other people, and do I really love other people? Mm. And is the love of God coming out through me, even to the people I'm serving?
Well, one of the things that I like that Kylie talked about was the fact that sharing the gospel didn't specifically look like speaking it out loud. And we talked to kind of the last thing that we always talk about is how we are alerting other people of the reign of Jesus. But in a different kind of light, how did you think you were able to bring the gospel on this trip? It's like what other opportunity, even if you didn't specifically say it out loud, what opportunities did you have to share about Jesus and kind of the difference it makes living for him rather than not?
I mean, so just from, like I said, the places that I was working at, there wasn't too many people interactions that I had. So when we were presented with this question, I was like, how do I answer that when I'm not doing anything? So I was discussing it with my mom, and we were discussing just by saying like hello to the people at the thrift store as they're walking through and loving what I'm doing, that is an act of discipleship, and that can plant the seeds in other people's lives to then be accepting when someone may come in with words to give them the gospel.
You see it in her eyes.
I think you could really tell if someone was willingly doing this work or if they were here just to get it over with. So I could see in all the people that I was working with, they were working with a positive attitude and good spirit, knowing that they were serving God's people all ultimately for his glory. And I think that the people that we were working for were also able to.
Up here was at the house last day, but I believe one of the family members of that we were helping in that area told Jackie before they left that he was looking forward to seeing the kids again in heaven someday. Anybody else? Last question. It's your last chance to go for it. You have a captive audience. Well, hopefully this gave you a small window into what our service week was like, and also maybe challenged you as you consider, maybe you were on this trip, but can you learn from the experience they're bringing back to our faith family? As they were challenged that the mission trip isn't something you just go away and do and then go back to normal life, but to consider normal life as mission, we all can be challenged in the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take a quick second just to thank this faith family, this church, for their support, whether that was financial support for the trip, it was cheap to go do something like this, whether that's prayer support. I know we had put it out, and I know a lot of you were praying for the team as they were down there. We were generally safe, generally had a good time, and really had a chance to help an area that it needs it, and it was kind of eye-opening how good we have it, really. So that was a blessing to us and a blessing to them, your support them as young people who are growing up into to join our body of faith. So thank you for that. Unless any of you have any closing statements.
Aren't you going to preach? I thought you were preaching.
Yeah, someone said they were going to just grab the mic and do a 20-minute message. I don't know, maybe we'll have to bring you back for that.
And I just want to encourage the congregation, this might not be the specific place that where they're most comfortable at answering questions. So engage them when they come out, because they might be more comfortable talking in a one-on-one setting rather than up here in front of everyone.
Maybe some of you would be the same way, to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you want to pray us out, and then we'll come off the stage and invite the worship team back up for a closing song.
Yep. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for all the kids' testimonies and just the way that you are working in their lives. Lord, I just pray that this missions trip was able to encourage them, Lord, but also being able to come home and being able to live that out where they are now. Lord, I just pray for all of them that they would be able to be strengthened in their faith, and I pray for our congregation that we would be able to come beside them and encourage them as they walk out and live out Jesus. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.